ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of week again. We got TD on the line with Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Big Muscle, Small Big Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. And PK, you've got a question for TD right out of the gates.
Morning, TD.
You'd unmute yourself.
Yeah, we've been.
Good morning.
What's up, TD?
We've been talking for a while about Travis Hunter.
I'm
of the opinion he's a corner first, but you see him more as a playmaker and think, particularly for the Titans, that he can be an offensive force right out of the gate. Tell us about how you view him and about how much you've heard of him maybe in that role from scouts.
Yeah, well, you're 100% right. I do view him as just a playmaker, and that's why he's not a CB, a WR. To me, he's a PM. That's what I call him. And he's someone that I would just have a package of plays for, and you have to see him first, second, and third down. And you know what? When my defense does the job, you're going to have to see him on fourth down, because he would return every single kick, punt, whatever happens, he would be there to catch the ball. That's the way I would use him. But you are right. There is a growing sentiment that definitely believes he has talent at corner. Here's the problem, though. He didn't really get too much time to hone in on his man coverage skills, obviously, because he's practicing limited. And even when he does practice, you know, he does a lot of offense, so it's tough. But there are a lot of people who feel that he could be a solid corner. There's some games where you watch and you're like, I don't know, though, specifically the Arizona one.
That's what I talked to Samari Roll this week. About something else, but we wound up talking about Hunter, and he said he thinks it can be a great man corner. He just needs to focus exclusively on corner and really work on man. So he's saying the other thing. I would give him hardly any receiver, maybe some gadget plays and stuff. Let him work exclusively for a while at the beginning on the corner stuff so he could perfect that and he'd be really good at it.
Yeah, if you're going to have him play both sides of the ball, you definitely want to just have a package. And you look, his coach, right? I mean, you remember 95, right? I mean, this dude, Deion Sanders, was lining up on the outside and running go routes. Sometimes it was decoys. Other times he was making the catch. So it can be done from that perspective. Me personally, I just love the playmaking that he brings. And if I'm the Titans looking at it, I wouldn't take advantage of the playmaking. You got, once Snead is healthy, you got him. Jarvis Brownlee Jr., I think, is, you know, going to blossom into a really good player. Cheeto is there. You know, Daryl Baker Jr. You have, you know, four pretty solid corners. I wouldn't put him there.
We've been talking some this week about the idea that if the Titans couldn't get out of one and don't like the quarterbacks, the idea of them taking, it seems people are more into Abdul Carter, maybe because of the Titans' needs, than Hunter. What would you think about a scenario where a quarterback-starved team goes with what the consensus seems to be out there? Maybe their scouting agrees with the idea these quarterbacks aren't worth one, and they pass on the quarterbacks and they take the edge rusher at number one. It's kind of an unprecedented thing.
Yeah, it's really crazy that you have a team that's starving for a quarterback and so many people are suggesting not take it. And I said this on the Power Hour yesterday. Why is it okay for the Giants to trade up to one and take Shador or take a quarterback? And it's okay for the Browns to take a quarterback, but it's not for the Titans. I look at the Browns, obviously their roster is in better shape than the Titans, but the Giants and Titans are on a similar level of terrible. You know what I mean? So it would be a different thing, but hey, I mean, you got Jeffrey Simmons banging the table yesterday for Abdul Carter. You look at the Eagles and what they were able to do. Now, obviously, you're not going to replicate that in one draft because that's a series of drafts and signings that Howie Roseman made. So it's not going to be the same, but you look at that, and if you're in the AFC, your goal, like, what you got to do is gear up to beat the Chiefs. They've been to six straight AFC championship games. You got to gear up to beat them, and what has been proven by the Buccaneers as well as the Eagles is the way you beat them. And the Titans, to an extent, we know they've played them well too. You have to find a way to disrupt and irritate and impact Patrick Mahomes. That's your only way. So Abdul Carter, I mean, you go back and watch the Notre Dame game. This dude with one arm, he dominated, you know. So definitely a top-level prospect. Not to mention, you know, he's a Philly guy, so he's going to get extra points with me.
That's right. Well, yeah, and my answer to the quarterback thing that you brought up there, TD, is like, the answer just has to be, if you believe they're that good, then you absolutely take him. But you don't just because you're quarterback needy, right? I mean, what happens in this league, a lot of teams do, they just pick the quarterback high because they're quarterback needy. Sometimes they get in trouble. But, hey, look, man, I said this week, like, Titans could also decide, nope, we're out on these guys. In a few years from now, we're sitting there like, oh, my God, Cam Ward's a top five QB in this league, and what have you done? I mean, there's the risk either way. But let me frame it to you this way, TD. So let's say it gets to that scenario, whatever, they trade, like the Giants desperate for one of those guys, Titans get down to three, and they have the choice between Carter and Hunter. What's your choice?
Oh, it's easy for me. It's Carter.
It's Carter.
That is a very easy choice for me, definitely.
Interesting.
What? How deep do you think they go at edge? And what do you think about the future of Harold Landry? I was talking earlier. I think there's a chance that I don't know about done all the way done, but I think there's a chance that maybe he's best slotted as the third guy, not the first or second guy anymore. Seems like his burst is gone, and he's pretty far removed from that ACL now.
That's a great point. The burst, you know, the fastball that used to be his trademark, you don't really see it as much anymore. And, I mean, maybe he could be a better suited in a situation where, hey, look, man, it's third down. We're going to bring you in. Go do what you do. Maybe that's the case. I would look at Arden Key, too. I'm just curious, you know, how his situation is going to work out, whether do they trade him, do they release him. I would monitor that part of it. And regardless of what they do, I think they still need to bring in the edge. You know, if they don't take one, if they don't take Abdul Carter, there's some guys, you know, at the top, you know, at 35, that you could pick. But here's the thing, right? You look at the Eagles, and I hate to keep pointing back to that, but you look at the Eagles, Jalix Hunt, right? He's a guy they drafted like in the fourth round. And you talk about situational pass rusher, that's exactly what he is. Because, you know, it's like 235 pounds. And they just bring him in and they say, man, go get the quarterback. And he was one of the guys that helped harass Patrick Mahomes. So it doesn't have to be first round, second round, if you go situational, but, you know, to your point about Harold Landry, at that amount of money, you know, they could save if they release him. It's going to be one to watch.
Yeah, that money, I know they're not up against it the way they've been some years past, but $17 million for the role that he could conceivably play. I wonder if at the very least they don't approach him about a cut.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely possible. And, I mean, look, what happens if they pony up for you know, Trey Smith. What happens if they do that? But speaking of Trey Smith, did you guys see the way he and Nolan Smith were colliding?
Oof,
in that Super
that
Bowl?
One collision was brutal.
Yeah, and the thing is, and that's another, I mentioned Nolan Smith because he's not a bigger guy, but that dude just packs so much power behind him. I mean, Trey Smith outweighed him by like 80 pounds. But you saw what happened when the collision was there. It wasn't good, you know. So I mentioned Trey Smith because obviously the right guard situation, the tackle situation, you know, we'll see what they do there. This is going to be a busy offseason for us, and I'm loving it.
So you mentioned like at 35, you know, they can get some edge. It seems to me like edge is one of the deeper positions. I know a lot of people are overall kind of down on this draft, but if you're knowing what you do about, you know, let's say we don't know what all they're going to address in the offseason, but right now, if they don't make a big signing like at edge and right tackle, do you think they'd be better off addressing tackle or edge at 35 if they don't do it earlier?
That's a good question. You know, I really like Kyle Kennard. I like Mike Green. Kyle Kennard from South Carolina by way of Georgia Tech. Mike Green, Tulane. Those are guys that could be there at 35. It really depends. I think, you know, I've mentioned his name a few times. Carson Vincent out of Alabama A&M, you know, you're looking at a day three option that could, you know, have kind of like that Titus Howard effect, you know, a HBCU guy. You flip him from left to right and he plays. it's deep at tackle, too. It's just at the top of it, like, you don't have your Joe Alt, your J.C. Lathams, you know, your guys that you would pick in the top 10 or top 5. But, you know, you do have a lot of guys. It goes deep. So they can get a guy later. But if you look at your impact pass rushers, and Nick Suss, you know, one of the things I like about being in the room with him is he always points out quirky stuff like that. And you look at the best pass rushers in the league, most of them, minus Max Crosby, were top 20 picks. So, you know, that is something that you have to consider.
They really downplayed what they're going to do in free agency. But you think there'd be at least one big-ticket item, be it Trey Smith or I mean, Josh Sweat's probably overpriced now based on the right. Super Bowl performance, and his numbers aren't really great, though he's a steady guy. Nick Bolton's not going to cost a fortune, but he's an expensive inside linebacker. It's got to be at least one big ticket in here, don't you figure?
Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, remember what Callahan said, you know, in his end-of-the-season presser. You know, he said, you know, they have to get a right tackle. They have to address that. But he also said the right side, right guard and right tackle. So, hey, Trey Smith plays right guard, so definitely one that I would put in there in the mix. And you mentioned Josh Sweat, and you're 1,000% right. I think that the Super Bowl overpriced him. And, I mean, he had 2.5 sacks. He was wrecking havoc and everything. But, I mean, if you look, he's been a Harold Landry-level player. So do you go out and you break the bank for kind of what you already have?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. Now, that's not to say he doesn't set the edge as well, but, I mean, he's been like that level player. I wouldn't overpay for that.
Does Super Bowl maybe knock Trey Smith a little to your advantage?
It's tough because, look, man, like, all right, forget it. I'll say it. Jalen Carter is what Jeffrey Simmons is supposed to be. Mm. And PK, you know how I feel about Jeff. Like, that's my guy. You know what I mean? But that's what Jeffrey Simmons is supposed to be.
He's dominant.
So for Carter doing what he did against Trey, like, it's going to happen. Sometimes, right, the guy that is getting paid a lot of money is going to do what he has to do. He's a great player, too. So I don't think it damaged his stock or anything like that. You know, I would still pay a big ticket for him because he's consistently, you know, overall body of work has been a better player.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation. Thank you, TD. The Eagles won one for your mom there. So I know.
Yes, sir.
And today is parade day. So, yeah, big stuff.
Yeah.
So.
I Sunday night, I was on, you know, all the websites trying to book a flight. Man, I couldn't find one for under $516. So I'll just have to watch it on the app and you know, live it out that way.
Were you going to get a ticket, too?
Probably safer that way.
Never mind the flight. What was the ticket going to be?
He's talking about the parade.
For the parade.
Yeah, for
the parade. Yeah. And PK, you know how I do, man. I maneuver and finesse. I would have gotten on that bus and been there.
No,
so.
I know. That parade's crazy scene.
Million people in the city, man.
Wow.
Insane.
Something to watch. All right, TD, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you
next
week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation. We'll react to some of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The Game, Nashville. Sports Network is your home for NASCAR racing. Sunday, tune in for the Daytona 500 on Sports Talk 8:30 at 12:30 p.m. and on 102.5 The Game following the Vanderbilt baseball game. Coverage of the Daytona 500 presented by Green Trees and the new Cumberland.com. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road. Sponsored by First Horizon Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. What are you pumping your fists about over there, PK?
Nick turned me off, but then he did turn me back on. But I don't know if he thought I was making a little bit of background noise there during your commercial
or
that I couldn't handle.
Okay.
That I couldn't handle it.
You need to babysit PK?
Why the close
Nick?
Monitor?
No, I didn't want you to have your rotating microphone make all the squeaking noises.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I think that's good for you, Nick. I commend good you on that. You. And PK, I'd like you to be a little more careful, please.
I think that makes it, you know, that background noise adds to the ambiance of being a real radio show.
Oh, really? You like that? Okay.
Just a podcast.
Just a little squeaking and, yeah. Interesting.
We're in an actual studio with an antenna.
Okay.
And headphones that kind of don't, you know, work. I've had the pleasure.
I side with Nick.
I never have two-eared headphones here. But these headphones have flashed 2 ears. So at brief for brief moments, I've heard things in 2 ears today. But then it flashes back to 1 ear.
Yeah.
So it's like I get it's tantalizing.
Something about this studio destroys 1 ear of all the headphones. It's very strange.
Nick comes in here after the show and he works feverishly to try to fix them, but it can't quite get it there.
Yeah. Well, we've got Adam in Portland on the line. On the by the way, WilsonCountyHoney.com drives our phone and text line 615-737-1025. Adam, want to talk about the top pick? What's up, Adam?
You know, I just now realized something. I just now realized that we don't have a third-round pick.
Oh, yeah.
Where you been, bud?
I got a call. Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't think about it. I knew they traded it, but I didn't think about it at all. I'm calling my shot, dude. There's no way we stay in the top pick. You've got to trade back and get that pick. So, I don't know. It just hit me when you guys are talking. I love you fighting with Jared, by the way, Paul. Like, that's good radio. I don't know who would say that's not good radio. Like, you got to put that dude in his place. I've been telling him for years, man. I'm like, look, get these people on your show and yell at them. Don't talk smack about them and not bring them on your show. Anyway, it's a big pet peeve of mine. But, no, I'm calling my shot, dude. We've got to get that pick back. So, you can't stay in number one. You got to move back.
Yeah,
thank you, Adam.
I think you're kind of catching up to the entire fan base.
Yeah.
Realizing that L'Jarius Sneed was on the roster last year.
Easy
to forget because he didn't play, but yeah, they don't have a third round pick.
Well, it's funny that we're talking about this because there's a little back and forth. I'm having a little back and forth with Chad Graff, who covers the Patriots for the Athletic, and you know, this is the time of year when everybody's throwing obviously so many things out. Someone on the YouTube chat, by the way, says, and I just saw it behind you, the Get Up show. They said Russell Wilson, the Titans would be the best match, but. Also, there are people talking, you know, possible trades. What about Jeff Simmons? What about Jeff Simmons to the Patriots? And what would it take? And you and I have talked like that third, getting back into the third along with more, could be one outcome there. Do you think that would be something that they would seriously in real life entertain? All this stuff about Simmons tweeting, yay, congrats to Terrell Williams, and then people are freaking out about it. Whatever. However. Do I think that Jeffrey Simmons would be rejuvenated playing for Vrabel and Terrell Williams again? I do.
I mean, I don't care about his rejuvenation.
Well, I understand, but there is, on the Patriots side of things, that's right. Like, what is he as a player? Like, that's all the things that go into a conversation that make that more than fantasy football and turn it into reality. I don't know if it could be.
I mean, I think if they could get two reasonable picks for him. You know, it creates another hole that you need to fill. You have to hit at a good rate and everything. But they want picks, picks, picks.
It creates money.
They want to be young. And I think a leadership reset, I've made probably too big a deal out of that. But I like the idea of a leadership reset.
Like Jarrell Casey, when John Robinson – and by the way, there's another good move by John Robinson. I know it offends you to consider that he had any.
No, it doesn't.
But when he made that move, I was like, God,
seventh rounder for him. I mean, that's not that big a deal.
Right. But in my mind, I'm like, I wanted to see a year. I wanted to see the 2020 season with Casey and Simmons together. That seemed like it could have been really good. As it turns out, he got out at the exact right time, you know?
Yeah, no.
And he tore his Achilles, and that was exactly when you make that move. I don't think that Simmons.
And they did Casey
there.
A huge favor, by the way. Because Casey had a pretty big contract and Denver inherited that contract. So instead of cutting him and putting him on the market where he wouldn't have got that much money, he got him to a place that absorbed his contract.
So I think Simmons is definitely younger now than Casey was then without knowing exactly what his age
was. Casey was on the down.
Casey was a different spot in his career, but I think that Simmons and Sweat is a good tandem, and if you put more around them than that, and if Sweat takes a step, that's a big part of it, right? But then also, even the level Simmons is at, which is not his best level, I don't think he's been at his best level, really since 21. Yeah, but also since the, I think that I have no idea if this is a thing, but I mean that playing through that foot ankle in 22. I don't think he's been the same player, but he's still a very good player. Is he the same level of player for the next 2-3 years? If so, I would rather have that player than the picks. But I don't know that that's the case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to forecast what's coming for him and what you want in your locker room. So what does Borgonzi think of him? And what's their honest assessment of him and their honest forecast of him? And what do they value him at picks-wise?
I mean, you knock him for his leadership and – you know, I think you make a lot of fair points, but also I wonder if people hear that and think like he's like a drag in the locker room. You don't think that?
I don't think he's a drag in the locker room. I don't think he's a bad guy, but I don't think he's a great example of accountability. He's happy when he plays well, and he's not happy when he doesn't play well, and those aren't always connected to team results.
Okay, I have another thought on that. We are going to get to some college hoops, though, before the show's over. By PK's desperate demand. Robbie and Rexo, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexo. Time to give some tickets away here, Keezer. Let's get crazy and go caller six. Caller six, okay? Family four-pack of tickets to the Athletes Unlimited professional basketball games at the National Municipal Auditorium. Saturday, tip-off 5 p.m. See star players including Alicia Clark, Sydney Colson, Lexi Brown, Jordan Horison, Isabel Harrison, and more. Caller 6. And welcome back in. Here are our last couple segments of the week, PK, as you've done an admirable job of filling in for Robbie. You got a lot of people, a lot of reaction today to a lot of people demanding more PK, which we have typically when you come on here.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Keep it up, people.
We also have our buddy Jake from Greenbrier, Jake N. Ball, who says he didn't tag you. He wanted just to tell me on Twitter, but
come on, Jake, tag.
Well, no, because he just he probably just didn't want you guys to bicker at each other, so he didn't tag you too. But he said Stillman and PK as a radio tandem has unbelievable potential. Tagging only Joe and not the two of them to play along with this bit. So there you go.
Stillman wants nothing to do with that. He doesn't.
I will say that it's way more tense when you're me trying to traffic cop that situation. I would very much enjoy just listening to it without having any responsibility for it. But it might be a little intense. There might need to be, you guys might have to go to like a retreat, like you do like those trust falls.
No.
Stilly, I'll catch you. I promise. I'll catch you, Stilly. I promise. And, kind of like go and tell each other your deepest secrets and maybe have some ayahuasca and then come back to Nashville and be ready to do a show
together.
You've
been to both New York and Boston, correct?
Sure.
Do you understand the difference in the accents?
Yeah, but your accent isn't – I mean, you're a Jersey guy. Yeah.
Which is not Boston.
Yeah, I'm not actually doing Boston.
We hate Boston.
I love
the city of Boston if they could just empty it of its inhabitants.
Yeah, there you go. You'd like to kill the entire city and then just go make it your own playland.
Empty it.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, all right. Well, I don't think I'm doing a Boston accent.
It's a weird. Everyone knows
it is a weird hybrid. I will admit. But
when I talk like that, that's not Boston. That's New York.
It's not New York and New Jersey. I don't know where it is. I know where it isn't.
I'll keep working on it.
No.
No.
The work is not working.
Yeah. Maybe I can go hire a linguist. So.
Yes.
So Simmons being dealt. So we've thrown that out as a possibility. We've thrown out Landry as a cap casualty. I would look at Treylon Burks as a potential cut.
He's not going to be on this roster, but he's going to be in camp.
You're certain of that?
I don't see why he wouldn't be. Like, what's the damage to having him in camp?
I guess the only thing I would say is he sucks up oxygen. Again, this is not his fault. The fact that, like, when he's here, there's still, like, the whole history of him coming here and then the entire history of people way overinflating what he is. I just feel like
that's an outside issue to them, not an inside issue.
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess if you're them, though, I could also make the case, he needs a fresh start. We need to rebuild that room and stop waiting for something to happen that's not happening. And so why not? Why even entertain the whole camp thing and then have to hear somebody talk about how he's so big and fast and wow, it's just if just only he
maybe
could figure out how to play football.
Maybe. I abide by a Floyd Reese theory here on something like this. Like, I don't think he can help this team. I don't think he's going to show up reliably and all of that. But you get your room together. The guy is under contract, and you don't know who's going to fall down the stairs. It's probably Treylon Burks, but what if it's Calvin Ridley?
Yeah.
And then you need all the alternatives you have, and he's one of them somewhere in the pecking order.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And the absolute lack of depth. I almost feel like the difference could be made, like, on NWI. Like, if you know you have him now, and you're gonna have a couple young guys. I guess you'll have Jaquan Jackson. I guess
Jaquan Jackson. I mean, there's a guy that I don't know needs to be on the roster.
Yeah, but like if you have NWI, then I think that because obviously what you hope, we always say this, is you hope that he's your three or your four, right? So you have to obviously address it at the top of the room. But if you have him for that depth, I would feel less compelled to have Burks around.
All right, so you've got Ridley. You ideally have a draft pick that can, you know, be a 1/2 with Ridley, and you re-sign NWI for a 3. Who's your 4?
Yeah, that's someone else. That's another. Another TBD.
And another TBD. But
I mean, some people think like Bryce Oliver.
Yeah,
or somebody,
Bryce Oliver's got some promise. But I would say, and I dislike Burks as much as anybody. But I would say it's not damaging to have Treylon Burks work as your fourth or compete for fourth in camp based on what we're saying right now.
Yeah. I just feel like I think for him maybe even more than them. And I know to your point.
I don't care about him.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that – but because it's him – would have my concerns that it's ever going to be anything productive or valuable at all here.
I don't expect
it may not be anywhere.
I don't expect it will be either, but.
Michael and Madison, your Valentine today, said, I thought Burke's problem was that he couldn't suck up oxygen. Well, there's been a stream of issues.
I think the asthma is behind. I mean, moves on to other issues. He's coming off a torn ACL, too. So, you know, and that was. You know, the surgery wasn't until, I want to say, I'm guessing mid-November. So what's the timetable? He's got to be healthy before they can do anything.
Yeah. A suggestion here from Joel, you know, he says, we got Jerry versus Joe. Why can't we add a weekly Stilly versus Pauly segment? Would you be willing to do that?
I'm available for
Stilly
negotiations.
Stilly Pauly. All right, there we go. That's a start. Trevor says, send them off to one of those summer camps. Have them out there doing the egg toss. Ooh, go from egging Stilly the Pooh's house to the egg toss.
No, we're egging Stilly's house with our egging business.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for the price of eggs to come down, and I'm told that'll be any second. So as soon as that comes down, yeah. We're in business.
Yeah, I think it's that was a big thing, right? Avanzi's on the YouTube chat says PK was awesome, especially about the fan segment. He was 100% right. And I said his fan gatekeeping. Says yes, he was completely right. Yeah, I don't even want to revisit the fan gatekeeping. He was not completely right.
Completely right.
He was not complete. He went overboard.
It's not like going to the shopping market and picking. Just not.
Yeah, well, it's not, right, but a lot of these fan stories that we heard, like Ed, I thought he had a great fan story, and that's a perfectly fine fan origin story. Question here is Colton Dowell something. We do never talk about Colton Dowell.
Yeah, we should talk about Colton Dowell. Colton Dowell, though, is a long shot player. I mean, if you get something out of a seventh rounder, say he rebounds from the ACL, fine. He'll be, in position to recover from that. But it's hard to count on a seventh round pick to be, you know, they drafted him to be like a fourth, fifth.
Right. But at least
he is under contract. We didn't mention it.
Yes, and that is potential depth.
Yes.
I mean, they have to have depth. They have to have more difference makers. That's more important, but also just some guys who you can plug in.
Ideally, a special teamer who's active on Sunday for you and functional depth.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's at least another option. But obviously, you know, they have to do a lot of work there. They have to do a lot of work at a lot of places. There's no doubt. We're about a month away, Good Lord. We're about a month away from things happening.
Well, we're
about, what, 2 weeks away from the combine? Is that right? 2 weeks?
24th.
So, yeah, so 10 days when you'll probably hear from them or so. Then you get into the interviews. Then you get into the actual testing and
whatnot. So we're getting close, at least. One more week of having nothing new, conceivably.
Do you just go for the Titans stuff, or do you actually stay testing?
I don't care about watching the testing. I care about hearing from
all
the prospects.
All the interviews. Yeah. You go through the whole process of the interviews.
Yeah.
Who is of, beyond the obvious people, we know all the usual suspects, all the obvious people, who's someone that you're really interested in hearing from, talking to, finding more about, who could be a player of interest?
I'm very interested in a right tackle out of Kansas named Logan Brown, who I think is a top of the fourth round kind of guy.
Okay.
James Foster at my site wrote about 29 different people this week. One of them was Logan Brown. He was at Wisconsin for 3 years. He was at Kansas for 2 years. Titans top offensive line assistant Scott Fuchs was at, it's actually rhymes with books.
Fuchs?
Fuchs.
This is not the last name you want to butcher, PK.
Yes, he was at Kansas for a year with him before he came to join Bill Callahan. So there'd be overlap there. Very athletic, but it was very heavy run scheme, so doesn't have a lot of pass protection experience, but really looks the part and has some physical skills. I'm interested to talk to him and learn more about him. He's like one of my early guys that I think I'm really into.
Interesting. All right, good stuff. When we come back, we'll wrap it up, talk about why this weekend to come is so awesome. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Final episode of the week here on Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. PK, got a couple questions here. Adam in Portland chiming in with, what do you guys know about Ohio State defensive and Jack Sawyer? From what I've seen of him, he looks like Kyle Vandenbosch with that high motor. I think he's good. He's not a first rounder, I don't think. But he's
good, but I don't know that he has spectacular trait.
Right, and that is actually a really good tweet from my buddy Brian Summers, yesterday, about the very strong correlation at edge with your relative athletic score and your performance in the league, like the traits, the athletic traits. They're obviously important in any position, but some more than others. Edge seems to be very – it doesn't guarantee anything if you have a high RAS, but he listed out all these guys, basically the best edges there. Very few guys that don't have that are great players.
He's a high, high effort guy, which you're going to love.
Yeah, he's a good player. I mean, I think he's – I think he'll play in the NFL.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, he's not a first-round guy, I don't think. But I had another question here, but I guess I've lost it here.
Good job.
A lot of people, giving you flowers, but Thomas from Hendersonville says
– hates me.
Great. No, he says, a great week of talk radio. Let's do one more thing. Make pronouncing H's a thing again. That's huge. Huge, not huge. What accent is huge?
It's all about efficiency.
Like, where does that come from?
It's all about efficiency. You just gloss over it, and it saves time.
It's not less efficient to say huge.
Yeah, huge. Quicker.
How is that quicker?
It's just the way I
all
speak.
All right, well, it's a huge weekend, by the way, in college basketball. I'm so happy to end the show on this. Tennessee Vanderbilt tomorrow. Alabama Auburn, number one, number two. We got also Mississippi State, by the way. The SEC is incredible. PK.
Did you hear which ESPN commentator was it that said, no SEC team has really stood out? I mean, they're 82 and 82 again.
Carl freaking Ravage.
What was that?
Oh, my God.
He's a baseball guy.
This has been a running joke. So Mark Pope
that
from Kentucky.
Really bad.
So somebody made this joke, and it's like I think it was just like a tweet. Like, everybody's talking about the SEC. They're 42 and 42 since conference started. What's so special about that? It was like, yeah, good one. So Carl Ravage actually entertains that as a thing. He's like, well, I don't know. I mean, whatever, 82 and 82. Dude.
Once conference play starts, there's no out-of-conference games, right?
Right.
None.
It's going to be the exact same number of wins as losses. So
that was horrific. I want to give a, has he acknowledged that?
I don't know.
He has to. I mean, he's got to have a sense of humor about himself and really clown himself.
But
was atrocious.
On the flip side of that, I wish we knew that we were going to talk about this because I would have gotten it's too late to get the audio. But Mark Pope, the Kentucky coach, was asked. Now, I don't know if he was asked seriously, if it was joking, but he says, yeah, I feel like we're not living up to the expectations just being 500 as a conference. And he's joking, playing along with the joke.
That's
yes.
great.
Yes. So big thumbs up to Mark Pope. Big thumbs down to Carl freaking Ravitch. God, how could you possibly get suckered into that? But PK, I got to say, I'm super excited. I think Vanderbilt is probably in for a tough day in Knoxville. They, of course, beat Tennessee. Can you tell me the last time Vanderbilt swept Tennessee in men's basketball?
I suspect it's been since Kevin Stallings.
You suspect right. And it would be his last year, actually, 2016, back when, Tennessee. I think that would have been – would that have been Barnes' first year? I think so. So they – he was just starting out. They were not a good program. They'd gone through all kinds of weird hires and all this stuff with Bruce Pearl, and Vanderbilt was flat out a better program. But it's been since then that they swept them. I don't think we're going to be talking about that tomorrow because Tennessee's ticked off from losing to Kentucky and from losing the first game to Vanderbilt. But, look, Vanderbilt has blown me away with what they've done. Even the other night, Auburn comes in here. Auburn's the best team in college basketball. Auburn should win the national championship. They came in here, and it was 15-0 like that. And Vanderbilt got it. I mean, they were right there midway through the second half, right there with them, fought back. So I think it could be a good game, but I like Tennessee. Auburn-Alabama I'm so excited for this game. It's at 3 o'clock tomorrow. What will you be doing at 3 o'clock tomorrow, PK? Not watching that game?
I'll have trouble remembering that. I could try to watch it, maybe.
Tennessee, that's a noon game for us, noon central, Tennessee-Vanderbilt, so keep that in mind too. But, the SEC continues to be amazing. Nick from Franklin claims that, he says Carl Ravitch did acknowledge it. He said took the L. So that he did it on Twitter. I think he needs to give an impassioned 5-minute speech of apology. I need more than the took the L on Twitter for what he did there. That's pretty amazing stuff. Also this week, Curtis on the YouTube chat, UC. We've had a lot of UC Soros talk. Jared Stillman would like him to be immediately removed from the premises and never start another game. I will say that
if, who's that?
UC Soros?
Oh, yeah.
I will say that. What are you doing over there? Are you
sorry,
you,
I got doing, I got a distracting.
Doing some
text.
Scheduling? I mean, the show's still happening.
I got a distracting.
Okay. All right. Okay. Everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I will say that if Kevin Lankinen, if they go to Lankinen over Soros, that's not great.
That would be.
Boy, that's going to be kerosene. I mean, it is kerosene on the discourse, especially at 2 o'clock. But, we've got some good feuds going here too, PK, between Stilly and the Midday Show, the DVD. So there's a good hockey feud there too. So it's not just you and Stilly screaming at each other, not just me. They've got a good thing. Stilly will have –
what's the defense of Soros? Homerism.
Defense of Soros?
Yeah.
Well, it's not again, we're talking about his take is, move on, get out, you've already signed this deal. I mean, to me that's ridiculous. You have to hope this year is an aberration. You have to hope that he has good years ahead of him.
How old is he?
There's no need to defend that he has been a great goalie. He has been. They're a bad team. He's having a bad year. What does that mean? I mean, it's not about defending him. It's about how severe is this situation. How old is UC Soros? 29? He is 3-0 right now, so a little bit troubling. But we got to go. Thanks, PK. Great week. Thank you, Mr. Keezer. And Chase and Big Joe up next.
Thanks to Chase McCabe and to you for having me. To Nick, don't block the box. Be sure to lock the locks.
102.5, 106.3 The Game.